So let's ask the Lord to help us. This is a perfect lesson for an overhead, but I figured I wouldn't have any electricity. So that's the way it is. And the office isn't open to me, so we just have to try to remember. Father, we come before you now, and we want to learn from your Spirit, Lord. We want you to be our teacher. We want to be quiet and still before you, so that when we leave here, we'll have a real challenge before us, Lord. It is so easy to slip into being a Saul and yet looking pretty good from the outside. And we don't want to do that, Lord. We want to be a spiritual person. We want to walk circumspectly. We want to be obedient to you, Lord. And we need you to instruct us and to show us the way to go. So help us now, Lord, to put aside all the troubles of today and the things that weigh us down, and we'll leave them at your feet so we can hear your voice. Speak to us, Lord, for we are still and we're listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, two men started out very much alike, but they both came to two very different endings. And God has put them in his word side by side so that you and I will be forced to compare them. They were both handsome. That's important, of course. They both became kings. They both were chosen, one by man and one by God. They both were anointed. They both had the Holy Spirit. And they both were involved with music. One, it soothed his spirit, and the other one, he would write it and sing. And wouldn't you have liked to have been around David? I wonder when we get to heaven if we can ask him to play something on one of his... I'd like to see what a lyre, one of those things look like. And then I would love to hear him sing. Wouldn't that be fun? It's something we can look forward to. But these two men were entirely different from that. Easiest way to remember it is Saul really is a good picture of the natural man, the man without God. And yet you think, man, he sure had every opportunity, didn't he? And David then would be a picture of the spiritual man. Saul was not under the control of the Holy Spirit, but David had the Holy Spirit. It's interesting that just a little ditty, a very small little ditty, was sung, and Saul becomes jealous and then bitter, and then he's thinking about murder. Get rid of David. And the other fella, very unlike myself, was, as he was involved with problems, he became gentle and meek, and he behaved wisely. That's the thing that I've got to struggle with my own self. Well, Saul had a life of disobedience and David had a life of obedience. And as I looked at Saul, I just realized that he didn't take sin seriously. It didn't seem to be any too big deal when he was disobedient when he brought back the king Agag and some of the sheep. It didn't seem to be no big deal to him. In fact, he told Samuel that he had done exactly what he had been told to do. And I love it because Sam says, "Oh, what's that bleeding I hear?" So here he is lying to him, but it wasn't any big deal. And then I thought about it. I thought, you know, if you and I were soldiers and we got involved in some city someplace and there was some jewelry lying around or there was some other things, I wonder if we would be inclined to bring that back. Don't want to go waste, you know? And I'm afraid I probably would fall into that. And David hated sin. Well, one man was powerless, and the other man was powerful. Saul had no Holy Spirit. He had an evil spirit come upon him from the Lord. And we don't like that. We don't like to hear that. So, you know, how can God do that? But I like to remind myself God could do anything he wants to. But if you are a Christian, You cannot be possessed by the enemy. You cannot be possessed by the devil. But you certainly can be oppressed. And if you've ever had that happen, you quickly learn to call a few people and have them pray for you, and you also get down on your knees yourself and you ask God to for the armor of God. And then I love that verse that says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Don't have to live with the enemy of God bugging you. You just don't. But then I also think of that verse that, or the Lord said, my spirit will not always strive with man. And I think there'll come a day when that'll be it. And I can't help but think that we're pushing that day to day. You know, I think about Saul and I take it seriously. And I think we're raising all kinds of Sauls where obedience is no big deal. You take it or leave it. It's an option, isn't it? That's the way we like to look at it. But the Lord wants obedience. Saul was told what to do, and then he went and did it his way. The first thing he did, as we looked at a couple lessons ago, is that he took the priest's job. And he wasn't to do that. And he did it out of fear. Isn't it interesting how fear will drive us to do things that none of us should do? And then he was supposed to wipe out all the Amalekites, especially Agag, the king, but he brought him back. And I thought, well, that was really a point of pride, because he was saying to himself, look, the people think I'm really hot stuff because I brought the king back. But it wasn't. It was directly disobedient. So, and then by the end of his life, we peeked ahead. We see him seeking out a medium. And you can get a medium any place you want to today. You know, they're really accessible. And all I could say to you is don't. So, well, let's look at the music aspect. Saul didn't like the new song the women were singing. And I was trying to put it to some kind of little ditty, and I can't do it. If Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s, and I was trying to think, how did that sound? You know, what kind of a... I gave up. Well, he didn't like that new song, and it was just really foolish to get angry over it. Because it seems to me David only killed one. That's all I can read. You finish the rest of the chapter of 1 Samuel 17, you'll see it's the men that go and chase the Philistines back to their hometown, not David. He just killed one. So Saul had really nothing to get uptight about. And then I thought about it myself. I thought, it doesn't take very much in my own life to get weird. Irrational or whatever. I'm thinking, no 10,000. So Saul killing 1,000 was really in good keeping. The thing that really bothers me is that he should have been celebrating. It was a huge win. After all, they'd been on the hillside for 40 days and 40 nights, and Goliath was out there gleaming in the sun and challenging him, and they were all hiding out. But so they should have been celebrating with David. Well, now we see David playing his harp to soothe Saul. But unfortunately, he had a javelin in his hand. And you can just kind of put it all together. He's going to pin him against the wall. But he tried twice, and both times David escaped. And I thought to myself, well, so much for calming Saul's spirit, you know? Not fair, not fair. So, well, Saul saw David behaving himself wisely, and you know what? That really caused Saul to be afraid. And I thought about that whole subject of behaving wisely, because God encourages in Ephesians to walk worthy, to walk circumspectly, to watch what you're doing. And what does it mean to be wise? Well, wisdom only comes from God, so it means you're walking with the Lord, and you're doing it on a daily basis. And it. And then I thought, well, you know, if you're in a place of sin, if you get involved in sin, where's the one place you don't want to go? You don't want to go to church, and you don't want to be around other friends who are walking in the Lord. It's just too much light, you know? You stay away from it because it's too convicting. And so I can just see why Saul wanted to stay away from David, because David just kind of glimmered with the Holy Spirit shining through him, and he had walked very wisely. Well, why did he find himself in this predicament is when he had the Spirit of God, he didn't respond. When he had that wonderful opportunity. And when he was confronted by Samuel, he agreed. He said that, you know, he had sinned, but there's no repentance on his part. And the two must come together. You know, you can confess all your life if you want to, but unless you begin to see how your sin breaks God's heart and how it ruins your walk, then you don't have that repentance, and Saul was lacking it. When we look at the two men side by side, as they're put together, one is definitely a warning, and the other one is an encouragement. It's the same loving God, the same heavenly resources, all of this at Saul and David's disposal. But may I remind us, it's also at our disposal. Everything that David had is also true for us. Both Saul and David, we see one steadily rising, which is David, and of course Saul steadily declining. Saul was in decline. Spiritual decline is always obvious to everyone except the person involved. So if you're on a spiritual decline, you may need a couple of good friends to tell you, hey, you're going in the wrong direction, because you won't see it yourself. We used to call spiritual decline backsliding, but you know what? I haven't heard that word in years, and I'm wondering if it went out. I don't know. So it's really, it's withdrawal from a walk in fellowship with God by refusing to do things God's way. And you know, it shows up in a man's character. Here it's evident in Saul's jealousy of David. Just that simple little song, but it was a bitter pill to swallow. Saul knew that he had been rejected by God from the kingship. Samuel had told him so. Even ever since that time, he must have been looking around for a possible successor, because he hadn't been told. So he may have had a premonition in his heart that this man David was the one who was going to take his kingdom. And I think it's interesting that he would see it as the one that would take his kingdom. You know, whose kingdom is it? It's the Lord's. It's not Saul's. There's where he was off to. In 1 Samuel 18:8, we get a little glimmer of this. It says, then Saul was very angry. That was at the saying that the women's little song saying displeased him, and he said, they have ascribed to David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed only thousands. Ooh, poor me. Now, what more can he have but the kingdom? So Saul eyed David from that day forward. I think that's, he was coming to grips with the fact that maybe this David person was the one. And then jealousy got into Saul's soul. Jealousy is a terrible, terrible trait to have, and there's no place for it in the Christian walk. And Saul's had just ripened until it became murder. This revealed darkness was setting into Saul's soul, and he had every opportunity to become a hero. But if you remember back last week's lesson, when Goliath was out there on the hill challenging the Israelites, It Saul slunk into his tent, afraid to lead, and then he lost his grip upon his people. What a sad testimony. Now, in his soul reigned frustration, darkness, jealousy, and murder. Warning, warning. Jealousy is a worldly behavior, and it will consume you. Jealousy is evident in his life, and that it's evidence that the enemy is at work. Jealousy is overcome by forgiveness. What you're saying to God is, the gift you gave so-and-so is better than the gift you gave me. And I'm jealous of her. And my gift isn't as good as so-and-so's. So you're really saying to God, why didn't you do better for me? I hate to even say that. But I remember after I became a Christian, and that was a long time ago, a very long time ago, and I had a wonderful friend in my life. She was just great, and she had four kids, and we just hit it off beautifully. But she had a marvelous, godly Christian man, and I really was jealous of that. And I really didn't realize it because they moved away. And the last time when they came back, it was about 20 years later, and then it all came back to me, and I thought, I need to talk to her and tell her what a jerk I was to be jealous of her husband. But he represented something I didn't have in my life at the time, and that's really what we're saying to God. I deserve what so-and-so has. And God says, I'll take care of you, just mind me, that's all you have to do. Well, Saul lost his grip, and David behaved himself wisely in all his ways. The Lord was with him. We can look at each man, what each man did when he was alone. And this is so important to pick up. David worshiped God and meditated upon the Lord day and night, especially when he was alone with his sheep. That's why I say I would love someday to hear David sing and maybe the 23rd Psalm. Wouldn't that be fun? But Saul was self-indulgent. And what a man does when he's alone with his thoughts will determine what he is when he's in public with other people. And as we go along now and study, well, next week it's going to be Jonathan and David, but we'll be back into Saul soon. And when we study him, you'll see a total breakdown of a man. It's so true. It is there that either by self-indulgence, it is where what you're doing in private develops a man's character, or it's wrecked by self-discipline or self-indulgence, and you have to decide. Character is made alone with God. I just can't encourage you. It's just a drive within me. Is that I would so want to see you in the Word of God every day. And you say, well, I have a lot of little children. And I would say, well, I had a lot of little children too. And the first time I read the Bible through was I was going back to Simpson College, and I had six kids at home. So it was a lot of work, but I had to meet the Lord. Just have to. And I still have to. If I don't hear from Him every day in His Word, I'm remiss, and I don't make it for the day as well. And I just would encourage you, He loves you, He wants to speak to you, He has everything that you need, and we so often want to find it someplace else, but He's our all in all. And I try to read through a Bible, a different translation, every year. That's a good challenge for myself. So I would encourage you to. I would want you to so be able to open up the Word of God anywhere and feel comfortable and understand what God is saying wherever. And that you would just come to love the Lord and love His Word He so wants to speak to you. So, when David was alone, he meditated and nourished his soul in the Lord. Just think of it that way. He learned how to bear quietly the snares of his brothers as he came to battle with Goliath. He was able to bear and the rebuke that they gave him and not try to get even. I thought I'd still be back in last week's lesson telling them, if I were David, I would say, look, Dad sent me out here, and if he hadn't sent me out here, you wouldn't have any food to eat. And besides that, I'm not here to see the battle because there's no battle going on. So I would have gotten a lot of trouble. So I look at David and I think, he just becomes more gentle and he doesn't become ruffled. I guess he got criticized all the time. But those brothers should have known better. And as I say, I would just give anything if there's something in Scripture to say what Eliab and
Abinadab?
Just a blank on it. Anyway, the three brothers, I would have loved to have seen their faces after David took down Goliath. That would have been just... I hope God has a rerun on a lot of these things. I'd like to see creation, too. That'd be great. But David had success, and he was gentle because his heart was in tune with God. And that's what you and I need to strive towards, is to have our hearts in tune with God. We'll do a lot better during the day. David learned to be strong. He learned to be gentle when he was provoked. And the Lord would give him the strength in the battle. That was exciting last week, because we know it was God that killed him. Shrewd him. And not David. David was the instrument, of course. What do you think about when you're all alone? Sometimes we just like to go over all those little things that hurt us, or we like to go over a lot of stuff that's totally non-productive. But where do you fit into this picture so far of Saul or David? Is your soul in decline, or is your soul in growth? Last week we saw the Lord depart from Saul, and he hid out in his tent for 40 days. What a guy. Saul had no Holy Spirit, no power, and he was afraid. And so I would ask you this morning, you know, how are you doing? Things in the world overcoming you? Do you feel fearful all the time? Well, we want to do away with that fear, because fear doesn't come from God. It comes from the enemy. And he wants us as Christians really to look bad. And he's promised us to fight our battles. So if you feel that you have to fight it, you're in the wrong place. God wants to fight your battles, and they can be intense at times. They can be very hurtful. But the Lord is able, and we need to learn how to tune in with him. Saul's life, there was no God, there was no prayer, life was meaningless, and an evil spirit came upon Saul. And again, I want to remind us, God can do anything he wants to. I don't like the sound of it. But again, for a Christian, never possessed, but you can be oppressed. And again, this is where you'll learn to put on your armor, and you'll learn how to have power by learning to claim promises of God. It's so beautiful. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. That just takes, about 2 seconds to say that. It just goes so fast. And yet the Lord's right there. I had a friend call me this last week. She was just sobbing over the phone. And I thought, we were just sitting down to dinner. And she's 92. And I thought, uh-oh. But the lady that had come to help her for months, they became very fast friends, she had had a stroke. Mm-hmm. And she was only 52. Mm-hmm. So she said, that's not right. Blah, blah. So we just draw nigh to God. Draw nigh to God. He draws nigh to you. and God is in charge, and that I think she's going to make it through because she got to the hospital quickly. So, well, Saul, I just look at him as his spirit, God's spirit, will not always strive with him. And but remember, too, that like Job, the devil had to get permission from God in order to have at him. This is the same thing with Peter. The devil said he wanted to sift him, but he had to get permission. So that's something serious to look at. And don't take it lightly. And the music is the one thing that helped Saul. Nothing else could have calmed his spirit. But you know what? The devil loves music too. And he's really doing a number on kids. He's been doing a number on kids for years. And now that I hear, it's not so much the music, it's what goes on at these concerts of drugs being passed to children and kids dying because of it. It's very serious, and it's just kind of like the devil took it to the next step. And they're supposed to card the kids, and they have to be at least 16, but lots of 12 and 13-year-olds get in. And I would urge you as a Christian mom, please know where your kids are and check on them if you have to. Because these kids will say, well, I went to Bob's house. Well, who'd you go to? Whose house did you go to before Bob's? And those are things that you need to know about. And never feel out of whack if you put your body across the front door and keep them from going out. I'd rather have your child alive and off of the mess that's out there than not to get involved. What was wrong with Saul? Why was he in such a mess? He rejected the word of the Lord. He rejected the word of the Lord. It's just that simple. And so we have to ask ourselves, how obedient are we? So poor Saul, we like to think of poor Saul, but those were his choices. So don't feel sorry for Saul. You know, he could have had a powerful life. He could have gone forward, just like David, but he didn't. And so God rejected him from being king. And that's hard for us to accept, but it was God's way. Just remember the first time as he acted out of line because he took the sacrifice out of fear and offered the sacrifice when if he had just waited a little longer, Samuel would have been there. The second thing is he didn't do in Agag, and he was to kill him and all of the animals, the flocks that they brought back. And the third thing is he sought out a medium to get direction. Disobedience began for Saul early on. Remember, God gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. And if a man rejects God's word, God will reject him. If a woman rejects God's word, God will reject her. It's that simple. Today, I think we look at God's commands as optional. Oh, submit to my husband? Well, that's if he's loving me, right? And then we wiggle around all these others. I wonder how many of us could get the Ten Commandments right now if we had a little quiz. Could you write out the Ten Commandments? You know, it's we slip and slide with our walk. We need to be sharp. And you can't just say, I'll think about it. It's a dangerous place. It's like Saul. I can just say, obedience, obedience, obedience. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. So we see the two men, you could put them right together, and one was on the rise, the other was on the decline. One was obedient, one was not. And we just need to search our own souls and see if we're more like Saul or are we more like David. Father God, thank you for putting these two men together in Scripture so that we can truly look at them. And Lord, we have a tendency to feel sorry for Saul. And yet Saul was a man who made some bad choices. He could have had a powerful kingdom. He could have had his people following him. He could have been the one leading and killing Goliath. There's so many things he could have done, but he chose to live without you and live without obedience, and it was very costly. Lord, I pray if there's any woman here today who's had half-hearted obedience, that she would see the danger of that, and before the day is out would get alone with you, Lord, and confess her sins, and then to repent of them, not to do them again. And for us, the rest of us, Lord, that might be kind of sloppy with obedience, that you would quicken us, Lord, with your Spirit and show us where we're being sloppy, whether it's driving too fast or not following some other law. We just take laws into our own hands, Lord, so often. Forgive us, Lord. We want to be women of the Word. We want to be women of God. We want to be obedient to you, Lord, because that's where the power is. That's where the wisdom is. And that's where our future certainly is. So help us, Lord, this day. And if anyone's here, Lord, that doesn't know you, I pray today would be the day that they would say, yes, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need to be forgiven. I need to be filled with your Spirit and become your child. Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated to thee. And for anyone else, Lord, that needs to get right with you, help them not to waste another minute, but to seek you out, Lord. And we'll simply give you all the praise, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.